Hey, lovers and friends, I'm Val.
I'm Courtney.
And I'm Lisa.
And this is My Perfect Romance.
Bound, chicka, bow, bow.
What about all of you?
Or how about my sweet love?
I think we all have a different idea about what romance is.
Well, what is the perfect romance?
Gosh, I don't know, but let's find out.
Yeah, so I'm Lisa. This is my voice.
And the chipmunk over here, that's Val.
The chipmunk.
This is, oh my gosh. I'm Courtney. And we're doing a podcast called My Perfect Romance.
Yeah.
We're really excited about actually just having an opportunity to be together.
I know. We're at weird stages in life right now.
Yeah. Like, so we've been friends for over a decade. And we've raised our babies together, and we've been each other's kind of souls alive. Yeah. And so all kind of in a stage where our kids are grown up now and starting to leave the nest, and all of us are kind of going in different directions, and we wanted to have a reason to stay together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We started as a mom's group. Mm-hmm.
And I didn't exist back then.
No,
I was around.
Val and I have children the same age. Yeah. And Lisa too. But we had our babies and mm-hmm. were in mom's group. And it was such an amazing thing to just have one day a week where you were with other parents.
Oh, yeah.
And the kids could just run wild. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And our group really was...
So when you guys were doing that, I was in New York.
You weren't around.
With hubby mm-hmm. finishing school up. And I was working.
Yes.
So I wasn't around.
You weren't around. But we enjoyed each other so much that when our kids started
going to kindergarten and preschool, and that's about the time I showed up. Lisa and I turned our group into a book club. Mm-hmm.
And that's when you came,
which is still going strong.
Oh yeah,
we all have. I love book club. Me too.
Even we do our book club. Our book club.
I mean, it works for me.
our podcast, mm-hmm. but. We, our book group is, so Valerie moved into a house and it was right a couple of houses down from
When I first moved to this area, I didn't know anything about it. I was in the condos, but then she moved to the house over here. And Lisa wasn't in the picture yet. Oh,
yeah.
Okay. But I moved here, Livia's kindergarten year, uh-huh. and met Val at
in
Zumba.
In multiple ways. We met a different ways. Yeah. Zumba.
The kids swim lessons.
So, and then her and I would pick our daughters were in the same elementary and kindergarten class. Mm-hmm. And so Lisa
I'm
and
like, why
I,
do I keep running into you? Why are you everywhere?
Yes. And then we got to the point where, like, if I was running late to pick up the kids, Lisa would hang out.
Oh, with... I was always the late one.
And
are
so
you
I
kidding
would...
me?
So Livia,
really? Yes, because I was like cramming in 8 hours of work into a 6-hour day.
Yes.
And that's just how it was. And I just mm-hmm. was rushing every single time to get, I can't tell you how many times I got pulled over and ticketed. Oh. On the way to pick the kids up from kindergarten, half day kindergarten. It was so hard to squeeze it all in.
Yeah.
So I would, I got permission to basically pick up Livia.
She was no much hell's mom.
Yes. So the lunch lady just like, oh, it's the Valerie Lisa combo.
Yeah,
and so we became friends there. And then she busted me at swim lessons, drawing floor plans. And she's like, oh, are you like having a house? I'm like, no, I'm just a nerd and I'm doing this for fun.
That's what I do. I love to draw for fun. We fell in love.
So then we fell in love. And then the house, she's like, okay, well, I guess we're going to buy a house in San Juan. I'm like, there was the one 2 doors down from my house.
Which is fun because we were looking at houses. Mm-hmm. We didn't know where to live. And it was between that and the house Eva lives in.
That's so funny.
We narrowed it down to those two.
There wasn't
a lot available at the time.
No.
And so the kids just loved the idea of being right near the school. Mm-hmm. And having the mailbox right on the front of the house. They're like, we'll get the mail for you every day. Because at the time we had to like drive down the street to, or like walk down the street to like one of those big mailbox things.
Uh-huh. So how did you end up being coming to book?
I brought her into the group. Yeah. I will take full credit.
She does. Thanks.
I brought Lisa into the group.
It's weird though, because for the first couple of years of me living here, it was probably the worst time in my entire life.
Yeah.
Going through a lot of awful stuff, mm-hmm. And surviving it still intact, marriage wise,
yeah, which is incredible.
I have to say, I look at both of you women and I think what incredibly strong humans and well adjusted humans you are, especially after some things you guys have gone through. Just you come out of it so beautifully, and I'm so proud of both of you. You're just amazing humans. I am very fortunate to have you as friends.
It's because we have friends and you're the same way. Like you are one of the kindest humans I've ever met.
I know. Anytime that I'm like, what do I do? Courtney has the wisdom.
You're so nice. Like I'm all like, so I can't put fire ants in their bed, and you're like, no, Valerie, let's not put fire ants in their bed.
That's really good.
But it's just fire ants.
Right. Let's just come down for that. Yeah. She's the voice of reason.
She is the voice of reason. She's like, let's look this with love and compassion. I want to.
Oh, no. Yes. And then also,
Courtney, before Lisa came to the picture, Courtney and I would always go running in the morning at 5 o'clock in the morning. We'd go running together, and it was like therapy session every morning. Like 3 days a week, we'd have our hour running therapy session. And
should we tell everyone what sold the deal, like with you and I?
This is
good money. But I was like, it's not that bad. You might like it. Why don't you give it a try? Yeah. I can teach you how to pace yourself, and you might.
Yeah, because Courtney taught me how to do that. Because I was like, I'm the same way. Because like
so she passed down your wisdom to me, and I actually still hate running. Do it. Even if there's a bear, I'm like, forget about it.
Care. But this is how I knew Lisa. Lisa was, you know, like she can come into our world and be part of our life because we were running and it was wintertime.
Or was it early spring? Because we had to have gloves on because it was cold outside.
Yeah.
And I swear that spring there were moose everywhere.
Oh my
God. So we were always on the lookout for moose.
Yes, this is true. And so we were running the 5 loop along the Dover path and then up, you know, so we were running that. So I'm like, Lisa, you can run 5 miles. You can just... I know you can do it. We're just going to go.
She'd see me like bust moving soon.
Oh my gosh. She's like such a sexy dancer. I'm like, oh yeah. I'm like, I grew on that ass a few times. So we were on the Dover Trail and my coffee kicked in.
Well,
in the middle
you
had of
taken two double espresso shots right before the
Let's just say, what time are, like, got to visualize, what time was it?
I think it was late at night. It was dark out.
Yeah. So it was nighttime. Six-ish? Between 6 and 7.
Yeah.
Okay. At some point, yeah.
But I live on caffeine. This is, like, coffee is my true love. I mean, and then I have an amazing husband. But coffee, it's close. Like,
And I use coffee when I'm needing to, like remedy a obstructed bowel. We'll just say it that way. Coffee is my medicine for that.
Yeah.
I don't need it.
And coffee is my life.
So two double espresso shots before.
Yeah. Before my
in
job.
The evening. Oh,
before
your job.
Yeah. So anyway.
I kept my step.
Everything was going to, you know. So we were going in, we were up in a place where there was no facilities anywhere nearby. So I found a facility.
Yeah.
And
I'm like, I'll be the lookout.
And so, for moose, not for people, which is.
Yeah, we were looking out for moose.
And we do, for people who are listening, we do live in an area where there are, it's not just
the kids
houses.
Get hauled in because of moose on the playground.
Yeah. Yes. And, yeah. From and school.
Yeah.
We, you guys can be on a run. And be in semi-wilderness at points.
Yes.
So it's not like you're just in a neighborhood running and this happens.
You might start in a neighborhood.
Yeah. And you could kind of go into some wilderness areas.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
This is kind of like a little slice of heaven. It's gorgeous.
It's like heaven. In fact,
but you shouldn't. We're not going to say the name of the town right now because we don't want anyone else coming.
No, that's why.
Okay, so you're on a run. You founded.
I found a Salitri, and it was kind of the time of year where there weren't enough like greenery for me to find some leaves to help, you know, alleviate.
Yeah,
the faucet that I had.
I've only known her for about 6 months at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you had already moved in next door.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You know, did move it pretty quick. Yeah, you did. And so I had to use my 50-cent cotton gloves.
You know,
the ones that are help alleviate my situation,
and because there were no good leaves yet.
Yes,
they had
and my situation kept continuing.
And wait, there's more.
But wait, there's more. And then I was like,
oh my god.
And Lisa's like, I got you. And then I knew I was in love when Lisa handed me her 50-cent pair of cotton gloves.
Do what you will. And I don't need them back.
Yes. So I knew that Lisa was a keeper when she gave me
her cotton gloves. I literally took the gloves off my hands for you.
She did. And you want to know what I did with them? I just wiped my ass.
Oh my God. I never tell anybody about this. And yet,
yeah, this is our love story.
And yet you're telling everyone you want to
see. I know. This is how I fell in love with Lisa.
Well, so we've all been friends for such a long time. And last spring, I think it was last fall, we went on a bike ride. And my genre of books is psychological thrillers. This is what I usually love to read. But it was getting to a point where I was like, I can't do this anymore. It's just too heavy.
It makes the world feel darker.
Yeah. I'm going to spend the summer reading romance novels, which I did. There were some good ones and there were some really bad ones. And when we went on this bike ride, I was explaining to you guys how I wish that there was something out there that would help narrow those options down. So when it's hard when you're looking for a type of romance novel or even a type of any type of book.
Yeah.
Like this is the kind of book I want to read, but how do I find it?
Yes.
So we kind of, and we've always talked about doing a podcast of some sort.
And it started at your house, I feel like. Like the first time I ever came over to your house for book club.
Yeah. Yes, I remember that.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do.
It was kind of really fun.
And we were thinking about trying to do a choose your own adventure.
Erotica. Let's write an erotica together.
So Charles Fitzgerald
is fun. We've always just joked about that forever.
Yeah.
Yes,
it's been a long time.
But instead of doing that, we're like, let's help other people find good, maybe erotica, romance. Mm-hmm. Let's figure out what your favorite kind is.
Yeah.
So this is kind of an adventure to figure that out, which is why it's like, well, my perfect romance looks like this.
We're kind of we'll be going through the process also of like, what kind of romance do we individually like?
Yeah.
Therefore, maybe our listeners can find the type of romance.
Yeah, I think we all kind of have slightly different tastes for sure. Yeah.
Well, and I think one thing that's kind of neat too is our listeners don't know this, but we are retro recording the first book we read today because we were learning how to do everything. We were learning how to do everything and we thought we were recording. So we're kind of going back in history to re-record our first podcast right now. And so as we've evolved this discussion and our podcast itself, we've decided to incorporate other aspects, not just book reviews.
Yeah.
So we've decided that we were going to add in interviewing couples about their romance because Lisa and I work in therapy. And so our favorite thing about rehab,
hearing love stories,
is asking patients about how they met, and especially because we work with a lot of elderly,
somebody in their 90s that's been together for like 60 something years. I'm like, how the hell did you do that?
Oh yeah,
because there are times that I'm like,
Yeah, and you see, and you see them when they're going through these life-changing experiences with strokes and you know, just their bodies breaking down, but and the love that they have for each other, and you just wonder how did they create this bond?
It's pretty cool to see.
It's amazing, and even when they start going
love
with dementia and stuff like that, how even when you know their bodies and their mind capacities and everything change. Yes. How their bonds stay strong. And so to us, it's just been such a beautiful thing. So we incorporated in interviewing people about love, and not just elderly people who've been together for 57 years.
I want but new like, love, old love.
Exactly.
Tough love.
Tough love. Yeah. And so it's just an exploration of love. In that venue, we've also decided that, you know, there's a lot of great movies out there for discussion.
Yeah, I think that rom-coms kind of took a backseat for a minute, and I feel like they're coming back again. Yeah. Like, yes. Late 90s, early 2000s, there were so many good rom-coms.
There were.
Like Drew Barrymore and Matthew McConaughey.
Oh, absolutely.
And, those were my favorite.
And Meg Ryan.
And then they kind of went away. Yeah. And now they're making a comeback.
Well, really, I'm excited. And just how I was feeling last summer, it's just been some dark times in the world. Absolutely. And still kind of is an uncertainty of where our world is going. Yeah. It's scary and it's dark. And anything that I feel like
escapism.
I want some light in the world.
What makes us happy and motivated is love. Yeah. I mean, honestly, doesn't every human being strive for love?
That's what
all we need is love.
But it makes us happy. And
figuring out how to attain love and keep love and give love and receive love
It feels good. I can't. This is such a fun thing to explore with both of you. How fun is it to just watch romance movies? I get to tell my husband, I'm like, this is work.
Yeah, I have homework. I want to join right now. Does Ben like? Yeah, I'll watch it with you.
No, well. He does, but he falls asleep.
Yeah, I was going to say, 5 minutes. Make it through one. That would be so cute. Ben is the man who takes. He works his butt off all year, and then he takes 3 weeks off to go kayak through Alaska. Like, he's a man's man.
He has no patience for a lot of things, so. Yeah, he'll just sit down to watch one of these movies with me, and then he falls asleep.
But I struggle with almost any movie, unless I'm like fidgeting and doing something else, because I'm a go person. Yeah. So I am guilty of trying to watch The Lord of Rings for like 10 years and not being able to do it, like falling asleep, and everything you have to watch is so good. I just couldn't do it. Maybe it's sci-fi fantasy I don't love.
The different kinds,
Yeah, I can't do it.
Well, it's fun. It's lighthearted. It makes me feel good. Yeah. Even we just, like the Luna, what was the book we just listened to?
Luna.
Yeah, this is a preview of what's to come.
Yes. Exactly.
Yeah, we're going to do paranormal romances for October, because why not holiday romances? Yeah. We want to celebrate LGBTQ month. Mm-hmm. We want to celebrate going to school, summer love,
and you know,
all sorts.
It's really fun. I would probably, not really listen or read or watch some of these things.
Yeah, absolutely.
But because we are, it's so fun and it feels good. It feels happy and it feels.
I love that I have to do it. It's true. Like the book we're reviewing today.
I want to do one more thing that evolved to do. So we're going to review books, we're going to review movies, we're going to interview couples, and we know that it's not possible to get out and interview all the couples that have a great story to share.
Yes.
So we really would love for people to go check out our website, myperfectromance.com. Easy to find, it's the title straight up, with all the links to different things we've got going on. If you want to like us and rate us and review, like, you can do that there, but you can also submit your own fun little love story. And I don't think it has to be like, I would love to share, like, my love story with my siblings. Like, because I love them. And just the joy that we've found as we've grown older and come together. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't have to be a romantic love. I just want stories of love, fun little stories about, like, how you were shown love or given love.
Or how you learned a love lesson. You know, because we all have those moments where we're just like, that was a real aha for me. Like, I didn't realize there was that layer. And this is how I grew.
Yeah. And we're sharing we've just shared our romance as friends.
Mm-hmm. We've gotten each other through our ups and downs. Yes.
Oh, my goodness. I would not be here if it wasn't for you two ladies.
True that. Yeah. So that's what we're all about.
Yeah. And I love that you said that too, because we are also going to be reviewing letters, and we'll also do some historical love letters between people and talk about how love presents itself in so many different ways. So we just really want this to be a very upbeat, kind of fun. We're all kooky in our own little ways. You know, we're not perfect people. We don't expect perfection from anyone, but I think that just finding love in the world the way it is and just being honest is just what we're striving for.
So, and I will say, I don't want to see people who don't want to tolerate different views of what love is. Like, I want to have a really, like, that's why we're calling it My Perfect Romance. We're all figuring out what that is and learning and evolving. So mm-hmm. I think if there's, I don't know if I get a sense of like any haters out there, like, we're just not going to project that. Like, just not doing it.
But I will make fun of bad writing. Or, you know, like, pompous attitudes, because I think that's so funny. Well, and you can make fun of me when I have a pompous
attitude. It's okay if there's bad writing or characters we don't like. That's just part of what makes, you know, characters.
So I think that this goes right into this very first book. We're like, let's just do a quick read. This one is on Audible, 3 hours and
super quick.
And when
we record, it is entertaining. It is, oh my god!
So just even the process for us to figure out how to do a podcast has been was a very long one.
Yeah. We've spent more than 3 hours of that book
figuring out how to hit record.
We already reviewed this book, but didn't record it. We were recording it, but didn't.
Yes.
It's true. Yeah.
So we thought it would be fun to revisit. And
because we all kind of loved it for similar reasons, because it's so entertaining.
They're so
And the characters are so unreliable. Like, they're so unaware of themselves.
Yes.
That it's very laughable.
A lot happens in it this does. Short
And it is such a quick read that it can't be, you don't get a lot of backstory, you don't get a lot of things. And then it's also, I know, Courtney, you're going to give us kind of a little bit more of a rundown, but it's also kind of fun too, because it's such a quick story with not a lot of background. And then you add on top of it, it's college students.
And the best one-liners.
Oh my gosh, the best one-liners ever.
We have a list. We could just do a podcast of the one-liners.
Oh yeah.
Oh my gosh, it's great. So, thank you, Colleen Hoover.
Yeah, yes. This book is Maybe Not by Colleen Hoover. Mm-hmm. And the summary says, Colleen Hoover, the New York Times best-selling author of It Ends With Us and Maybe Someday, brilliantly brings to life the story of the hilarious, charismatic Warren in his new novella.
Novella is just a short novel, which is accurate. It's only like 3 hours.
When Warren has the opportunity to live with a female roommate, he instantly agrees. It could be an exciting change, or maybe not, especially when that roommate is the cold and seemingly calculating Bridget. Tensions run high and tempers flare as the two can hardly stand to be in the same room together. But Warren has a theory about Bridget. Anyone who can hate with that much passion should also have the capability to love with that much passion. And he wants to be the one to test his theory. Will Bridget find it in herself to warm her heart to Warren and finally learn to love? Maybe, maybe not.
So reading that summary, we were kind of like, oh, I don't know about that. But now I'm thinking, like, the whole book is written from Warren's perspective.
Yeah.
So it's a female author trying to encapsulate the way a man thinks.
And not just any man, a 20-year-old college student.
20-something. Which I wonder, was he like 23, 25?
Is he that old?
Well, he's in college, so maybe
he's been going for a little bit.
Yeah.
But still at it.
20, maybe 21, 22.
I mean, they don't.
So young 20s.
Young 20s, yeah.
Yes. And I just love, like, thinking back to that time in my life. It was such a good time.
It was, you know, things were not so serious.
Uh-huh.
I was so serious.
And you have your future ahead of you.
It was a bit of both.
Yeah, you at 21 were married and had babies.
Yeah, sort of.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't mess around.
Yeah.
Yeah, right to it.
Oh my gosh, that's a whole other backstory there, but yeah.
So, Warren is living with his two best chat friends.
And they're brothers.
Yes.
The two best friends
are brothers. They, I think that their father kind of abandoned them. Mm-hmm. And Warren's parents took them in and raised them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One is deaf, but the two brothers are very musically inclined. Mm-hmm. And all three of them kind of start this band.
Mm-hmm.
Warren is the manager of the band.
And he's not musically inclined.
No.
He just makes sure they're getting to their shows and things are booked. And
The brother who the brother who is deaf writes the music. And the other brother is the frontman for this band.
Yeah.
And the story starts out with the front singer, the frontman, the one brother, he
owns the house.
Yeah. They own the house, or they're managing the house, and they let Warren stay there for free because he is their manager.
Yeah.
But he's going away and tells Warren that they have a new roommate. And it's Bridget.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, he actually doesn't even learn about Bridget until she's moved in.
He doesn't tell her. So the way that Bridget and Warren meet is the shower is actually running.
Mm-hmm.
And I do question whether or not Warren can't hear or not, because I know when a shower is running and I don't necessarily go and interrupt that.
Well, but this is all, this book is written from Warren's perspective, where he's amazing in his viewpoint. I mean, this man has a very overly healthy self-esteem.
He's got a big ego. And I'm pointing at my crush right now.
Well, to quote our,
all about it.
Yes, we do. But, you know, so from his perspective, he just wakes up in the middle of the night and needs to take a piss. So he goes into the bathroom, oblivious to the universe, and takes a piss.
While someone is showering.
Yeah.
And she just got work.
Yeah.
And she works at Hooters.
Mm-hmm.
And
so she's taking a shower.
And she gets to see her totally naked. And let me tell you, she's hot.
Mm-hmm.
And perfect in every way, but she's pissed that he interrupted her shower.
Which, rightly so. Like, guy just barges in and is taking a piss in the room that you're taking a shower in, and you're vulnerable and naked, and then he yells at her.
Complete stranger.
Yeah. So then he yells at her. It's her fault that she's there, and
he has no idea that she was there.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Then that's when he reaches out to her friend. He's like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
After yelling at her for him barging in on her shower.
Yeah.
But it's even in her being a bitch to him.
I know that when someone is showering.
I know. But this is just, this is our main character. This is our main character. And this is prevalent throughout the entire show. It's always, he does something that's inappropriate. But somebody else's reaction to his inappropriateness makes them
the bad guy.
The bad guy.
Yeah. Yeah. So
well, then he doesn't need to to ask his friend, like, what's going on? Why is she here? And he just says, I'm helping her out. She's in a bad space. I'm helping her out.
Yeah.
And for a long time, Warren can't quite figure that out.
He's well,
like, why? Yeah. Why would you do that to some random
Warren
girl?
Doesn't even pay to live here. And he is questioning the person who's letting him live here for free, letting this girl move in.
And why is she in a bad place right now? Because I think she's supporting her family. She needs to get away from them because they want her to keep making more porn.
Yeah. Yes.
Because it helps support the family. And so Warren
overhears
her. It's
kind of her foster family.
Her foster family who have porned her out. And he discovers that she's been in some pornos.
Over, because he overhears her conversation with her sister.
Yeah. And he knows he's listening in on it.
Sister, I don't know quite.
And it's not like he accidentally was walking by and heard. He, like, once he heard that she was talking, he, like, eavesdropped.
Yeah. Yeah. So then he
invaded her privacy.
Yeah. Hours trying to find
for the next
porn.
Month.
Yeah. He's basically every waking hour watching porn. In the main living space, 24/7.
Trying to find the porn she's in.
Yes. He's mad at her because she just won't tell him. And so she is wasting his time making him watch all this porn.
When she just tell him.
Yeah. She's making him do this.
Here's my favorite, one of many favorite lines is Warren's like, time flies when you're watching porn.
Yeah.
Totally loses track of time. Like, this is all he does.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, 20-year-old.
So this is just one of the, like, there's just tension between these two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they mess with each other a whole lot. They're constantly mean pranking each other.
Yeah. And it's not fun funny pranking. It's mean pranking.
I remember in my early, like, my college years, like, for the little bit of time before I was, you know, knocked up, married. That's not how it went. I want
no. She was definitely married before she
got pregnant.
Yeah, exactly.
So, but I loved the pranking. Like, I was a prankster on everyone, and still to this day,
Lisa and I, when we were neighbors, we would April Fool's prank each other all the time. Like, I put her house on the market, and
like, poor roommates got pranked by me nonstop.
Yeah,
like my Lisa, guy friends, everyone
Lisa
gets
snuck
pranked.
Into my house and switched out the toothpaste with mayonnaise.
I mailed her. I mailed her Reese's peanut butter cups
with hot sauce
to Baskin, and pretending like it was like a survey for some new flavors.
Oh, that is so funny.
She's.
I planted bulbs.
Oh, that was the best one. Yes, and they popped. They popped up on April 1st. I kid you not. It's like,
Is this your first in her grass?
No, they were tulips.
And the reason I did this was because the year before, Valerie went crazy on the bulb scene. She had bought like 500.
Yes, I did.
300 to 500 bulbs.
Yeah.
And them freaking everywhere. And I'm like,
because I finally got all my cards stable on.
I'm actually
like, wow, did I?
No, this is what makes me so mad, because I got all my hardscape and I got all my perennial hardscape down. I had my yard perfect like that.
Yeah.
Everything was perfect. So I was finally like, yes, I can finally go and do my bulbs. So I layered them so they would come up in, you know, so I would have all the spring color and all the different things. And they were perfect. Like these at 8 inches, these at 6 inches, these at 4 inches.
Oh, yeah.
And then I had everything immaculately organized and planned. And
it was over the top.
It was amazing. I had a really cute yard. I kept it cute.
Yes.
And so
she was so excited about it. So I'm like,
yeah. But then the moose came through and ate all of the tulips and trashed not only all of the bulbs that I had planted, but all of my perennials. And he ruined my yard and I had to redo it.
Oh, except for the ones that Lisa planted.
They were fine.
No, yeah, they were only for us. They popped up like daisies, but they were tulips in the grass. And it was so funny because like a few days before April 1st, I'm like, what is this? This looks like there's like tulips. I'm like, and so I was mowing around them.
You totally were.
And then seriously, on April 1st, the flowers opened up and I'm like, this is insane. And Lisa's like, ha! Oh, good long game. But I have to say, I really loved when I put all, when Diana and I, got the neighbors next door on both sides to let us use their outlets too. And we got everybody's inflatable blow up Christmas decorations.
So when I woke up
on April 1st, and we live right across the street from the school,
covered in like Christmas blow up things.
Yes, like huge Christmas blow up things everywhere, all over the yard for everyone to see as they're dropping their kids off for school.
Yeah, she's put crime scene tape up.
Oh, yes. Chalk drawings.
For cell signs.
No, I love that. And I made it just the perfect price, too, because it was like, well, this could be real.
Oh, my gosh. So many thoughts.
Well, I'm looking at a picture right now. It's a family of cats.
Oh, yes.
Like, the picture is, there's like a mom and a dad. And two kids, and they've got clothing on.
There's cat family.
It's a cat family.
Yes. And I hid it in her house and waited for her to find it. Because she and I have a cat and dog feud.
Yes, we have a cat and dog feud. Yeah. Like, I'm a cat person. She's a dog person. But we both don't, you know, like, I like dogs too. More than you like cats.
I'm getting to like cats because of your cute little kitten. Up there,
I know. Isn't my kitten? I have a kitten on my lap right now. The survivor kitten who I almost killed. And so then I found him underneath my house trapped. And then I IV'd him back to life. Bottle fed him. And now I have a cat again, which I wasn't going to have another cat. But now I have a cat.
Well, you're just a cat.
I'm not keeping that at this point.
No.
Right? Look at him.
No.
It's asleep right now in Valerie's arm. She's just cuddling it. So cute.
Yeah.
So these two are pranking each other. They hate each other, but do they really? That's the question.
Yeah.
You know, Warren decides, I think at some point he decides he needs to, maybe he's going to try a different tactic.
Uh-huh.
And start being a little nicer to her.
Mm. Yes. Yeah.
And there's a lot of sexual tension and teasing between them because they find each other both attractive.
Well, and I think they're both really good looking people.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
they probably are. That's why he's got a big ego.
He has a very big ego.
At one point, he
tells her, like, I fuck like I'm Thor. Just so
like,
you know.
You're
like,
missing out.
Which
is probably all of our favorite lines.
Yeah, we were all listening to this story at the same time.
Uh-huh.
And about at the same time, we're all texting each other. He fucks like
the Thor book.
Next month, when you're hanging out with us, like, we could be talking about tomatoes, and we'd be like, and they fuck like Thor.
That's true. It's so good.
This guy, he says he acts like Thor.
And then he tells her, if you have sex with me, you're the one in danger of becoming clingy.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh no. So they hate each other, but they also want each other.
So I can't remember, how do they end up fucking the first time? Because it's definitely fucking.
I feel like it wasn't planned.
It was
just the sexual tension was so high that they just couldn't stand it anymore.
And they're like, we just need to do this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get it out of our system.
Yeah.
And Warren does have an amazing time because she makes it all about her.
Their first time.
Yeah.
She's like, she looks down and says to him, well, this explains your big ego.
Which, you know, like, as far as gang goes, this guy is such a cocky ass. Like, that was such not a good move for her,
in
this situation, just because that just, like, you just gave him power. Because this is not a healthy relationship. Yeah, this is not a healthy relationship. Get that off our chest. Warren, you know, even the prefaces of this book and stuff like that is kind of BS, too. It's because that book, you know, synopsis is all written from a misogynistic.
Yes. I think the Colleen encapsulates a total.
Oh, she does a great job. But it's really funny to read the book cover that's written from his perspective of himself.
Yeah.
He's not charming. He's a total self-centered dick.
He's the biggest charmer on the planet.
It's funny. He thinks he's funny and charismatic because he says he's funny and charismatic and he pulls these pranks. But when other people pull pranks on him, he doesn't take pranks well. He can't handle it.
Yeah.
He also, you know, he's mean. Like, he thinks it's funny when he does something mean, mm. but it's mean when someone else does the same thing to him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like he's
a beautiful person. And I just, I wonder what it would be like to like have that headspace where you're like, I'm so beautiful. Like I'm untouchable.
I think I have the opposite problem.
Yeah. Like it's hard for me to like relate to that.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, you know, and I keep, so their relationship progresses. They're mm-hmm. having sex all the time mm-hmm. and she's beginning to like him. And I kept thinking, why?
Yeah.
He's a barista, kind of.
Yeah.
He,
he's kind of a
manager, kind of.
We don't even know what he's going to school for.
We don't even know what he's going to school for. He doesn't offer anything to this relationship.
Except he watches a lot of porn. And he likes to prank people, but he can't actually take a prank himself.
Yeah.
And he tells us how wonderful he is all the time.
Yet she is. Okay, so she's beautiful. Mm-hmm. She is working super hard at Hooters.
Oh, yeah.
To crazy pay for school. Because I forgot what she's going to school for. She's got psychologist or something like that.
Yeah,
and she's working really hard, mm-hmm. and she's a nice person.
Yeah, she's a nice person now. She's not nice to him, but he's not nice to her.
Well, she's just, it's self-defense for her.
Yes.
And she's after got their first sexual encounter, like he really truly, and this is another line in the book, he truly believes that every human has a weakness. And I think I just discovered what hers is. Me. He's just so full of himself. And,
and I love that. To me, it's just so horrifying to me how he says he's constantly insulting her. She's mm-hmm. horrible. She's cold. She's mean. She's this. She's that. She's just this terrible. And I need to make her a better person. And I can make her a better person because she's so horrible. He's labeling her these things she's just reacting to your dickhood.
And he thinks he's so nice because he's like, I really want to pleasure her now. She won't she only pleasures me,
but she won't really come to me. Why is that?
Yeah. Like, oh yeah, she won't.
I've got an amazing dick.
Yeah. I'm an amazing lover. So because my ego can't handle her not having an orgasm, I'm going to make sure that she has an orgasm and that she learns to open up enough to let me let her have an orgasm.
And then we find out that Bridget does have kind of she's had a hard childhood.
Yeah.
Which mm-hmm. lends itself
so
to
she's
her
been through
being,
the foster system.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
She yeah. And
she's been and
a
she's,
real family solid home.
Yeah. Her value in life has basically been through her sexuality, her appealingness to other people. Which, you know, the porno industry stuff and the things. So she's learned to perform. Yeah. She's learned to perform sexually in order to get validation and stuff. So sex to her is not about enjoying herself and relaxing. It's a way to earn her
value.
And worth.
And to pay for the food on the table.
Yes. Whether it's working at Hooters
or making porno.
And trying to, you know, ease a relationship with this roommate who's so aggressive.
Yeah. Yeah. So they both have some things to overcome. Mm-hmm. Hers is like how to overcome her intense sex appeal. And he needs to learn how to let go of his big ego.
Yes. That's what they actually both need to figure out.
Which is, I think, mostly located in his crotch area. His big ego. Which this book brings to light over and over and over again. There's a lot of sexy times.
I have to say she does a good job of writing the sexy times. And like she really does a great job of writing a
sex scene.
Yeah, a sex scene and also writing from the viewpoint of a totally self-absorbed 20-year-old
male.
Like, I have to say, he's
I didn't find the character relatable, but he was probably pretty darn accurate.
He was like, pretty darn accurate. And his viewpoint of himself is probably, unfortunately, my biggest problem with the story is the fact that we're pretending that he's a nice guy when he's not.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's not. He's not a good person. And I hate the fact that we go through the book saying that she's been the bad guy the whole time.
So,
and that that book supports that. But from his viewpoint, that's what it is.
That's what it is.
And so she does a really good job of writing.
Maintaining the characters.
It just pisses me off that society accepts that treatment of her.
Yeah. Well, I wonder, I don't know. He loves the arrangement that they have going on.
Of course.
They're not friends, but they're definitely sexually benefiting each other. And then he's got this line where he says, I'll hit all the humans if it means keeping up the arrangement I've got going with her.
Well, I'm not going to be. He doesn't have to do anything to emotionally support her. He has convenient, easy sex. So when he's not watching porn, he can just fuck her at home. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have to take her on dates or anything. She goes on a date with another guy.
But does she? Okay, before that happens, a girl moves in.
Oh, yes.
Another random girl.
Yes.
Who I don't recall like why she moved in.
Yeah, probably because it's a short-term, you know, no one's paying thing. Rent except for.
Yeah, someone's got to pay the
rent. Someone's got to pay the rent.
So this girl moves in. They're just hanging out watching something on TV.
Yeah, and it could have even been his porn was on and she like sat next to him for a minute.
Awkward. Just met you. Let's watch a porn together.
Yes.
But so she realizes for the first time ever, Bridget, mm-hmm. that she's kind of maybe a little jealous that he's maybe developing a relationship with another girl.
Exactly. Yeah.
And so to counteract that, mm-hmm. she's like, well, I'm going to make him jealous and see how that feels.
And she goes on a real date.
So he starts playing off with this other girl.
Absolutely.
And they kind of, because they were not nice to each other the first time they met, those two uh-huh. females.
Yeah.
They're both alpha cats, uh-huh. I'm guessing. And that's a thing. So she decides that she's going to make Warren jealous too.
Yes, exactly.
So she finds a really nice guy that actually treats her well.
Yeah.
Goes on a date and then brings him home.
Huh. Yes.
And for Warren to witness. Mm-hmm. And Warren is extremely jealous. He wants to get rid of this guy.
Oh, yes.
So
this guy has to go to the bathroom.
He has to go to the bathroom. But Warren intentionally goes in there and he puts like Tux pads, hemorrhoid cream,
and stuff to yeast infection stuff.
That she's just this disease freak. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't say that, but yeah.
No, but that's what he totally does.
Yeah. You don't want to mess with this bitch.
Yes, exactly.
Because he would hit all the humans in the world.
Oh, yeah.
To keep this arrangement. He just
so
wants.
Why wouldn't he? It's perfect for him. He gets a hot chick. He doesn't have to do any work for it. Mm-hmm. He can insult her and doesn't have to put anything into it.
So the guy goes into the bathroom. He's like, it's nice knowing you.
Yeah.
And he quickly leaves. We're just like, what was that?
Yeah, and then she goes in the bathroom and sees.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So they haven't figured out yet that they actually maybe like each other.
But then Warren also, like once again, Warren kind of plays it off like, haha, aren't I funny and great?
Uh-huh.
I'm so funny.
But she's actually hurt. She's like, I could have had a good relationship.
Yeah, that guy was actually nice to me. He actually took me out on a date and did stuff. So Warren, being, you know, the perfect, amazing man that he is, finally decides, oh, well, maybe I need to, like, if I want to keep my arrangement going and get my, maybe I need to, like, do something with her outside of the house or something like that. So I'm going to take her on this. I'm going to take her out to run my errands.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Which is really big of him.
Which is so, I'm going to bless her.
With
my presence to run my errands.
And he kind of lets her in on his, like, family
life.
Yeah.
Family
he
life
plays
a little bit.
The family card.
Yeah, he plays a
Where
family
he's
card.
He's like, I'm a great uncle.
Yeah.
But I just have to stop by my sister's house real quick.
Which so, we never even know as readers that he has a sister until he needs to stop by her house.
Until it's convenient
because
for him.
He's obviously such a loving, caring guy who's such a family man because that's yeah. what he wants to portray to her.
Yeah.
That we just find out about the sister when he needs Which, us to have it.
I will say, when I first met Brad, and he talked about his family so much. He talked about his nieces and nephews. You could tell he just adored his family oh, yeah. and loved them. That was so hot.
It is so hot.
He totally played that card.
Yeah, no.
But I don't know if he did it with good intentions.
Well, my ex-husband.
I'm not saying Brad, Warren in this book.
Oh, but no, I don't that's think just he did. I don't get, no.
He
I just,
loves his family.
Yeah. No, Brad does. Yes. And Brad is. Like, Brad's family is tight and close. You guys were there. Yeah. You know, yes. yesterday, like, you know, they help each other out. It's love. It's all yeah. love. Pretty that's cool. that's legit.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's totally. Who he is. You know, he's, yeah.
Loves his family. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there. I think that there's nothing hotter to a girl than a guy who, like, loves children, mm-hmm. loves their family. Like, it's pretty.
Yeah, actually. And, like, the guy who, like, plays with the puppy, like, really plays with the dog or really uh-huh. plays with the kid. Yeah. That is the hottest, best thing ever.
Yeah, it's funny. Yeah. When they walk in, his nephew, like, doesn't he they play shoot 'em up. And, yeah, the kid's like, Warren shoots him and he plays dead. And the kid plays dead the whole time they're there. Because then I mean, he's still playing dead in the hall. Oh,
that's adorable. Kids.
Well, okay, man, who hasn't done the hide and go? Like, kids, let's play hide and go seek when they need to get the dishes done as a
yeah.
mom.
Yeah.
Okay, you have. And I'll come and find you.
I've never done that.
Did that as you're doing the dishes. Oh, they're not in the closet over here. Oh, well, I'm going to go look downstairs. You're doing the dishes, Oh,
that
man.
Not
wow. Are they in
my house.
Are they in this box? Nope, they're not in the box. Oh, are they under the couch? No, they couldn't fit under the couch. You never did that?
Never.
I didn't do that, but I'd make the boys run around the house. Yeah. Like, I'd say, okay, oh, my God. Okay, you two... go outside and run around the house 10 times before they you can come it. Back in. They go twice. They're like, can we come in? Nope. You still have 7 more times. Yeah. Get out there and run around the house 7 more times.
Funny.
I try and get as much done as I possibly could while they were running around the house.
Oh, the tricks. I would have them help me and I'd be like, oh, let's see who can do this the fastest. We'd have like a countdown and make a game out of it. I made my, I used the slave labor I could.
When I did that, it was when I could not stand them anymore. I'm like, you have to get out.
Do
get out of here, out of my sight. I can't stand you another minute.
Oh my God.
Raised the generation. I mean, we're Gen Xers. Our parents like said.
I'm a millennial. Sorry.
That's true. Okay. Oh. Well, Courtney and I were like pushed outside, the doors locked.
Well, I certainly, Lisa was not that, but she was.
Yeah, yeah,
we were
exactly.
I was with that mentality.
Exactly. My mom did not know where I was, obviously.
I would just share a moment.
Well, she would go outside when it was like getting
all dusty.
And she was like, kids, come home.
Yeah.
That's how we knew it was time to come home.
Yeah.
She had no idea what we were doing all day, every day.
Yeah,
we were just allowed to explore. Which
yeah, that's
amazing.
You were raised like
well,
a Gen Xer.
Oh yes,
you
children of the 70s and 80s. Yeah,
Lisa
yeah.
and I were raised in Utah, which is a Mormon's
the safest
a
place.
A lot of children, so our neighborhood,
or so
you
right
know, right. within like 5 families, there was a gazillion
kids.
Children.
Oh my gosh, just kids crawling everywhere.
Yeah, it was. But it was fun because you know you could go outside, you'd have your bicycle gangs.
Oh my gosh, the dirt hills?
Yeah.
So I lived in the dirt hills. So the dirt hills were a place like between the houses where like just dump trucks went and just dumped the dirt.
Oh, yeah.
But we got it packed down pretty good. So it was like pretty freaking awesome bike trail.
Yeah.
And if you could make it up that first hill, you were golden. But like you didn't really like plan very well, but you didn't want to ever go home. So we like literally lived off the land. Like we had I called them cheesies. They were like things that grew in the sidewalk cracks.
Jesus.
So they were they were some kind of weed thing. They grew out pretty flat and even, but every so often there would be like this little button type thing that was wrapped in leaves.
I know what you're talking about. Yes.
And you just pop the little button out and pop it in. And like when you get hungry, you go,
oh my God. I didn't eat that honey second.
That's what I called them.
Well, you didn't get poisoned. I'm so fine.
No way, but Jesus.
Well, there's always a vacant lot where there was always like some vacant lot where you just take your little bikes and just.
The honeysuckles. We would just see the honeysuckles.
Like our neighbor, we had pretty deep backyards, and my neighbors with my brother's 5 years younger than I am. And our neighbors had three little boys that were my brother's age, and they had a pool. So my brother and
like an actual in-ground swimming pool.
Yeah, they did.
What? They were in the bougie hood.
No, I wasn't. It was odd. Like you would never know this house had a pool. It was odd.
It was like there's properties here.
Yes, but our backyard, they had all of these trails. Like they would go, they could climb up the tree onto the garage. Then the neighbors put like little, like steps or like, I don't know.
In Utah, little road rats.
So that they could go down, scale down the other side. So we had our yards were connected in this weird way. Like we had neighbors that lived down the street. They were homeschooled. But I don't know if they really went to school. I don't know what they did. I do know that the boys that were older than us dug holes all day. And they had this lit.
Were they on meth? I'm just kidding.
No, it was the craziest thing. Their parents had no idea. But they had
you told me about this.
It went straight down into like tunnels with big rooms.
They were like little moles?
Yes.
Mole children?
They were.
They totally died.
It was hidden by a bush. So like you go behind this bush and then you go down this hole.
Were there like little indentations like a ladder for them to get in and out?
Yep. You go down. Yeah. And then they dug it was like a room. And then they like did another tunnel into another room. I can't remember. It was just, So anyway, that's our generation. That's what we were doing when we were kids.
Well, Jane, also, like, your grandparents always bought you a flashlight for, Christmas, too.
Oh, yeah. They're definitely flashlights. I have no idea how their parents had no idea that was going on in their
backyard. Because,
where were they putting that dirt from those holes?
There must have been a lot of dirt. That is so freaking cool.
Honestly, do you just remember the forts you used to build, the death trap forts?
Snow forts or?
Oh, those too. But the treehouse forts and the forts you'd build at base. We would go, it's crazy we all didn't have tetanus all the time.
Oh.
Because, you would just go and so we would go to this field and people would dump garbage in the field sometimes. So we would just go through these bags of crap and then pull crap from over here and then we do our kid engineering to create our places there's a nail on this one, we'll just hit it really hard with the rock against this other bolt to try to see if we can get this old rusty nail to go with this other bolts
together, see if they stick.
Yeah, exactly. And then we'll just stick it up here on this, we'll climb up this tree thing and kind of put this
we survived.
We did.
Yeah. So we had broken bones.
You know what? The only bones I had broken, other people broke for me.
Oh, shit. I think I broke twice, but I never went and got it checked out.
Yeah. I just missed
my arm for a couple months.
Well, my parents didn't notice these things. My parents didn't notice it when our arms didn't work.
There's a little cough and just... you'll be fine.
When your fingers were totally, broken.
This is adult, child protective services nowadays would be called.
Child protective services is over my house quite often.
I actually think they were called on us too.
Yeah. I think they just traveled the neighborhood and just swung by everyone's houses.
Yeah, it was cool.
You just talk and they're they'd ask you, is everything okay? And you'd be like, yeah, we're fine.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, we're this just checking all we on know. You kids.
This is great.
Yeah,
it was kind of freaking awesome.
Yeah. But my brother and his friends, the little neighbor boys, My mom worked all summer, so
yeah,
I was, I guess, basically
you
in charge.
Told me the one time where your brother in the ditch, he was sick.
Oh, that one, yeah. That's so awful. So they, my mom's an artist, and she, her friend did all this artwork in tile. So she was moving, and my mom was storing all this tile in our garage, like boxes and boxes of tile. So, I mean, I was supposed to be in charge, but I was out.
How old were you when you were in charge?
Like I was 10. 9 or 10 when I was put in charge of my 5-year-old brother. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
I was babysitting after school every day when I was 10 for a dollar an hour.
My God, I couldn't have imagined my anyway.
I can't imagine getting paid.
So I think my mom was doing yard work and realized that this bush that went along the whole back of our yard, that my brother and his friends had taken the clippers and clipped out the whole inside of the bush and laid tile on the ground. Took the tile from the box. the ground. And my mom, you know, was like, oh, well, you've got to put the tile back because
it doesn't belong to us.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That's so freaking cool. It's so creative.
Yeah.
Oh, kids.
Oh, anyway,
back to our story. My cat's going to come visit you, I think, Lisa.
Oh, cool. I can handle it. Your cat's adorable. Back to the story. So I think we kind of want to leave it at that Warren's trying to show her what a great guy he is and that he has overcome his giant ego. And she, you know, I think he got her to orgasm. So she's obviously overcome this terrible trauma.
Yes, obviously. With, she had an orgasm finally.
She finally lets him pleasure her.
Yeah. So
which is
she's all better.
Which is big for her. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Big for her. She could relax enough in a sexual situation to accept pleasure.
Yeah.
Means that in his world that she's finally warmed up and isn't a bitch anymore. And because she can overcome his bitchness.
And this is why he believes it, because she kissed him on the cheek. And that kiss on the cheek means we're official.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll let you guys read it and figure out how they overcome these things and they end up together.
So I think what we kind of came up with, that we kind of enjoy this rating system to kind of discuss, like, how real is this book or movie or are they realistically the kind of people that would ever get together?
I can see them hooking up.
Let's go up the, do you guys want to introduce the scale?
Yeah, let's introduce the scale.
Kind of, would they ever realistically get together? What? Not going to happen. 2, just not very likely. 3, neutral, could go either way. 4, very likely.
Yeah.
4, 5, it's pretty well destined.
I would say for a hookup, there are 4, in my opinion. Because I think the chances
stage
of
in life,
the stage in life, they're both these hottie, they're both hot people. They're put in a roommate situation with some sexual tension and some proving each other. They need to, you know, so their egos are stroked. They're not they're both very sexual people. Put in a place with another hot sexual person where they have ego proving that they need to happen. So I think it's very likely that they would.
I think I'm right on board with that. Mm-hmm. Which we don't always agree, but
I agree that I agree with that too.
Yeah,
I think you're gonna fuck.
Very likely to fuck, at least.
Yeah,
there and
let they me have a relationship.
Yeah,
what does that mean to you?
Well, that is the next. The
well, next how long question. Do we think their relationship is going to last? So we kind of chose this scale. And let's explain why we chose each of these different tiers. So one day this is just a total hookup situation. They're really not, they don't care for each other at all.
Yeah.
Basically sex.
Yeah. It's all sexy. Then the next one, 3 months. Mm-hmm. So why did we choose 3 months? That's
because
just kind of
you kind of get to know somebody, like, their true colors sometimes in 3 months.
And then you can move on. Like,
you're like
a short relationship.
You're like, either like or decide, hey, this is somebody
that maybe is more than a one-night stand.
Yeah.
But
I like them. Or you're like, oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
Like, but you do figure out we're not
compatible. Or it's that one-night stand that you're like, don't really want to have a one-night stand. So let's just see.
Let's just see where this goes.
Yeah, let's just see where this goes kind of a thing. And then it ends up being, you know, something a little bit different on it.
Yeah. Okay, so the next part of the scale is 2 years. In 2 years is a lot of people, they get in, they might not be engaged at 2 years. That's kind of the make or break of we're going to like solidify this relationship. Yeah. I think it's 2 years.
Yeah, we're either going to move in together. We're going to, you know.
It's a shit or get off the pot.
Engagement.
Yeah, it is. Uh-huh. 2 years is a shit or get off the pot phase in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. I agree. So that's why we chose 2 years. Shit or get off the pot.
Totally. You know.
And then we chose 7 years because like we all know about the 7 year itch.
Yeah. Where you're just sort of like, I really thought this is what I wanted, but is this really, you know, is this really what I want? You know, are we still engaged with each other? Usually, you know, if and a lot of times, you know, okay, we've gotten together, we've had our babies, our kids are past that toddler needy stage.
Yeah.
And now it's like, okay, are we a relationship still?
Yeah. Yeah. If you've had children at that point. But yeah, there's definitely the 7 year itch is legit. One other thing I wanted to say about the shit or get off the pot phase, the reason I think we chose 2 years is because like they talk about in different, like, what is that book? The Five Love Languages.
Uh-huh.
He talks a little bit about the 2 year shelf life for that like insane chemistry phase in a, in a relationship where you're just crazy in love and you can't see the shit in the pot.
Mm-hmm.
So I think after that 2 year phase, you're like, oh,
this is reality.
I think that's another reason. Like 2 years is a big,
mark. Well, and I also think that even if, you know, you have an open relationship, you have to go, okay, I agreed to X, Y, Z. I thought I could handle X, Y, Z.
Yeah.
Can I really? You know, like I thought I'd be okay with the fact that you dress up in women's underwear. Mm-hmm. Like I didn't think that that would really bother me. But now that we're together and I've, you know, been around you dressing up in women's underwear.
For 2 years.
For 2 years.
Not,
you know what?
Not
I thought I'd be cool with it, but I'm really not, you know?
Yeah. Like,
can you dress up like a clown instead? I'm just cheesy.
7 year, so level 4, 7 year phase. I think if you make it past that first 7 years, because I really think I've just noticed this in my own lifespan, because I think how long we've been married? 21 years.
Mm-hmm.
So we're at the 7 year cycle again. So every 7 years or so, we kind of have this cycle where
I think you're right.
Interesting.
Yes. Do you guys notice that pattern? Like we really.
Maybe. Let's see. Where am I?
So
at 28.
Do the math.
I was married in 99.
That's you're coming up on 25 years.
Okay. Wow. That's a long time.
Yeah, that is. Years. That's like a big deal.
But Ben dated for a while before that too.
We were together 5 years before that. So let's see. I was 23 and I'm 53 now. So that's 23 and 42.
That's
30 years. We're at 30 years. My goodness.
Yeah. Damn, girl.
Adrian and I broke up.
We passed the 25 to life, but I'd say
there's a cycle though.
After being together 28 years is right before 28 years is when I finally pulled the plug on it.
So that's kind of I feel like why we did the 25 to life, because there's just at 25 years, this is another huge make it or break it ish, give or take, because
your
a lot of people
are
in a stage where if they've had children, their kids are now leaving the nest.
Yeah,
and empty nesting is one of the biggest
breakup times. Yeah. Because you raised your kids. That's when I got out.
Yeah.
And we're kind of going through that right now. And you can see how
we're at the 25 to life stage.
Well, I feel since I am in this space right now, 25, like kids moving on, mm-hmm. is you put so much energy into your kids.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you forget about your spouse.
Yes.
Oh, and so, yeah, that's why this is such a common divorce.
People are doing that.
Yeah, you meet your spouse again and decide, do we want to be with each other now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Plus you have more time. Like you suddenly have, that's why this podcast is happening because we have time.
This point in our lives, like 10 years ago, we would have done it.
Yeah, but we had no time.
Well, we were talking about trying to do it, but we were like so busy with life. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. With kids. I mean, they take up a lot of
time. They still do. Are you kidding me?
In a different way.
It is different. I still constantly worry about them.
Oh, I don't know if that'll ever change.
Yeah, that's not going away. So that's that scale, which is kind of a fun one. Do you guys want to kind of talk about what we think the longevity of Warren and Bridget's relationship is going to be?
2 years.
I think they're, 2 years.
I was only going to get 3 months.
They're almost at 3 months, I think.
Yeah. I think his big ego is quite large.
Oh, yeah.
And he needs to explore with that ego a little bit more.
I feel like she's going to do more growing.
Yeah, I hope she ditches him as soon as she finishes her degree.
Yeah.
Yeah. The psychology degree is going to help her enlighten her a little bit.
I think their personal growth scale is she is going to now, since she's kind of gotten past some stuff, she's going to grow exponentially.
I agree. She's going to outgrow him.
Because she's going to school. Yeah. She's in psychology. And he's just kind of like going to go slow.
And he's a jerk.
He's going to take a
while. I'd give him 3 months.
I hope it's only 3 months, but she's broken enough. I think it'll take her 2 years to get out.
You think? I want to hope for the 3 months. Okay. Last one, spiciness. We want to rate the book's spiciness levels. So this one, level one, green pepper. Like we can all handle the green pepper, right? Yeah. I watch green peppers with my kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I watch ghost peppers with my kids. I don't care. No. That's so awkward. So green pepper, level one. Next spice level, jalapeno. And then we've got cayenne. And then habanero and ghost. So how hot and heavy do these books get? So this book.
And green pepper is like you can watch with your parents or your children. Ghost is absolutely, it shows.
You're
hearing and watching.
Is Ghost
like
a straight porn at this point?
Pretty much, I would say.
Yeah.
Okay. Jalapenos, just a little excitement, a lot of sexual attention, I think, in a jalapeno.
Yeah, you've got
maybe
sex.
Not too racy.
Yeah, there is a sex scene.
There's sex, but things are kind of, I'd say there's sex, but that's not the whole movie's not sex.
Yeah.
Maybe cayenne is there's sex, but things are covered. You might see a boob here and there or something like
that.
I think an anteater comes out in the habanero.
First has a thing. You're going to hear anteater a lot and it's awesome.
Then you'll see what you. We'll just leave it at that.
My cat is biting.
The cat is just going crazy on me. You get the mouse. You don't get me. You cannot have this.
You can't handle the
and ghost pepper. Yeah, straight porno at this point. So this was a habanero to me.
Yeah.
There was a lot of explicit.
Yeah.
Like she talks about him sliding in and out of her. Wincing when he puts himself inside of her. Like it's really graphic because
he's
so mm-hmm. got a big ego.
Have you guys never mind?
Song is to go down with sexy room, sexy times. So, I'm saying habanero. Where you guys,
there's such a thing as too big.
Well, she went there, she just
Yes. Well, I don't know. Yeah. I'd have to think about that.
I've been afraid before.
I've only been with
people. I've been afraid before.
I've said no before.
Oh, gosh. How would that be?
Said, you don't think there... You think there is.
I've said no before.
Your ego is way too big for me.
Your ego... Yeah, I've said no before because I'm like, that looks like giving birth.
So do you think that
it's going to be fine?
I did it twice. Don't need to do it again.
So I think that's an interesting thing. What, you know, for some women, what is that appealing? Like, does, do some women be like, yeah, I, or is that only a man in a man's brain?
Too small definitely can happen.
I know. I don't want anything too small.
But there's a book out there, and I can't recall it. It exists in this world, and if somebody can find it, I would find it intriguing. It's like a memoir of a man who has a dick that's too big. A bick that's too big.
A dick. Well, is that from now on? He has a bick.
A bick dick.
He's got a bick. We know what that means. It's big.
It's big and dick. Oh, combined. Yeah, and that's the memoir, is like how hard it is for him to get laid, because it's terrifying to women. And that's his memoir. And if someone can find it and tell me all about it,
that's awesome.
I'm curious. Because I guess it's a problem.
I would think it would be.
The problem is real.
It's real.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Also, like, how do you not pass out when you get that thing going up?
Oh, I know. Yeah, all that blood flow.
There's only so far.
Probably the brain's not getting a whole lot at this point.
I know, like,
and there's only so far that thing can go in, right? You know, it's like,
oh gosh, you got that. We could go on. Let's talk about, do we have a favorite line? I think we all agreed that I fuck like Thor.
Oh, that's
fuck
like Thor. There's so many good lines, and this is like watching Monty Python's, you know, Holy Grail, where you're like, okay, when I just watch the whole movie, it's not like that
it's
great.
It's not great, but the one-liners
are one-liners are amazing.
She does great. Yes.
He is thinking it's an oral sex for everyone.
It's true. I know. I think I liked This Explains Your Big Ego.
Yeah, like, that's really good.
Because he was super excited to hear that. He's like, oh, I think it probably doubled in size, his ego.
Yeah.
Ego. That is a euphemism.
And then he got lightheaded after.
Oh my gosh, he passed out. Does this book matter? Is it engaging? Do we care or like the characters? I really didn't like Warren.
I
couldn't relate to him.
Lauren.
I didn't understand Bridget either. So get your head out of your ass.
I wanted to Bridget's that girlfriend that you just want to bitch slap.
Yeah, like, girl, let's talk.
Yeah, and you're just sort of like...
I think I would like...
She needed a girlfriend.
She needed a girlfriend.
I think I would like Bridget, like I said, later, after she's accomplished some things, grown a little bit, I think I would like her. But at this point, she's just really... Well, I mean, I feel sorry for her.
If I was in college, I might take her on as a project friend.
She would be intimidating because she's too hot.
She wouldn't be. Well... That's part. I don't know if we talk about this.
She wasn't into her hotness.
Hotness is intimidating. Like, if you're too hot for me, I'm gonna be like, oh, I'm just gonna look.
Really, I have a beautiful girlfriend. So I guess maybe I just didn't. I don't know. I guess maybe in life I'm just used to being second. So I'm like, whatever.
She is lonely, basically, and she is looking for family, friends, whatever. So I kind of feel bad for her that she's kind of...
I actually think she's a good person.
Yeah.
I just think that she attracts people in her life.
Yeah.
She's been used for her hotness.
And then she gets told that she's a piece of shit by people like Warren, who are saying how great they are and how lucky she is to have them in her life.
Yeah. She's definitely got some... project.
And then would we recommend
potential.
This? Yeah. Would we recommend this book to anybody? And if we would, who?
I think it's for spicy. It's the girlfriend book.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend it.
I don't know if
anyone.
I want my grandma and mom to read it. Maybe my sister.
I wouldn't recommend it to anyone.
I wouldn't either. Right? Like, well,
really?
No,
I didn't like it. It pissed me off. I hate because I feel like
the characters were super unreliable and just terrible. But I think that she stuck true to who they were.
Oh, she did. She did a great job writing it. Like, what it was, she did a good job.
Yeah.
And for it being a novella where you don't get backstory, she did a great job.
We may have invented some backstory. Because I don't know how much of this backstory was actually in the book. I think we kind of embellished.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Because it was a novella and she didn't have time.
I hated it.
Because it was left to us to kind of create...
because a reason why they care about them.
Yeah, a reason for them to behave the way they did.
That's true. Yeah. I hated Warren, and I thought he was a terrible human being. Yeah. And then the thing, but the reason I hate him so much is because he's just.
But you wouldn't recommend it just for the entertainment one-liner factor.
Those are so funny.
I'd rather just tell someone.
I read this book. And
it's
here's the one-liners.
You're not here's the one-liners that I like.
You're not going to get a whole lot out of it.
Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough.
And the sex scenes weren't like
they were habanero, girl.
They were habanero.
Did you rate it habanero? What was your rating again?
Well, there was nothing like. I guess for me, I'm just kind of like I didn't learn anything from it. I learned more from Cosmo about, you know, like if I'm going to read a sex scene, I will like want to pick up pointers. I want to like I read a sex scene like
it was like very, but it, they were very sensory sex scenes.
Yeah, they were. They were well written.
That's what.
They were good sex scenes. But like I'm like, yeah, but there was nothing in there that was very like there was no emotional connection to me, and it wasn't
because there wasn't enough backstory.
Yeah, because there wasn't enough. So there wasn't enough. There wasn't an emotional connection. There wasn't enough, fantasy of, oh my gosh, they don't really know each other, and it's kind of naughty in some ways. It's just like, no, these are just two hot, horny college students who you'd expect to hook up, and so it was kind of just like.
Just what hot people do.
Kind of a little bit like that too. You know, there's like, you know, that's kind of like, so there was no like naughtiness for that. Like, oh, it's not even the professor and the student. There was no, you know, there was no intrigue. And then I didn't learn anything from the experience. Like I didn't like, oh, that's kind of an interesting technique. Or I kind of
place in life.
Yeah. So for me, I was just like, I mean, it was fine as a sex scene, but like it didn't make me hot when I read it.
Yeah, those books are fun.
Yeah.
That's fun for you guys. It's out there.
So even though it was a habanero, it didn't make me hot. Like it wasn't one of those where I'm like, ooh, well, then what you box do you eat right
cayenne
now?
Cayenne pepper. Because you can sprinkle that on your pizza. Maybe.
But I think it was well written and I think it was well done. But for me, it didn't turn me on. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I guess maybe we need to have more discussion.
I feel like it'd be fun to just open this up on our website for the people that read. Because we'd love for people mm-hmm. to like read in advance and kind of follow along with the story as we're talking about it. Yeah. And just like, you guys rate it. Yeah, let's see what you guys think about this.
Exactly.
Well, and also it's kind of fun. A different thing too, because, you know, like you never poo-poo someone else's happy.
Yeah.
So, like, what's going to make tingly on the inside is different than what's going to make you tingly on the inside.
Exactly.
Let's
take a poll.
I give it total credit for being a well-written.
Yeah.
It's a well-written hot love scene.
Yeah.
It just didn't. And so that's why I think it's totally habanero.
For a 20-year-old, it would be a great love story.
Oh, yeah.
But. And I think that's what this podcast is about. We're exploring all sorts of
a different ideal.
Yeah.
And stories, and we're presenting it to you, and you can decide whether you want to read it or not.
And if it's going to be different opinions.
If it's going to be your type of book or movie or.
So I think I'm going to make a poll happen on for our rating.
I that, Lisa.
I think it'd be so fun. So people go to our website.
Yeah.
We'll have a poll there. Let's see what we all think about this.
Yeah. And if you're really lucky, you can be like, hey, Lisa, dance on that poll.
I love one. That's a ball and it's amazing.
She's into the vertically.
Pole. It's freaky.
The first thing I
was like, damn.
There's been more than once.
Oh my god.
My jaw dropped.
And then
I'm like,
here.
About splits after that. I might be pole dancing. Valerie's very good at
professional
things. Oh my god. Thank you guys.
This was fun.
I'm glad we revisited this book. It was a good one.
I love this one. With you ladies.
Yeah, me too. So you guys, if you enjoy this, we want to keep doing it and rate, review, subscribe, all that good stuff. Check our website out. Participate in the fun.
I'm so glad you do this every time because I always say rate, right.
right? Writing something.
Gotta be responsible and organized.
I'm a Virgo. So
yeah, cool. And what is our website?
Also, I'm okay, but I'm obviously not as organized as you are.
I'm a crab. I'm a disease. Any way you think about it.
All right,
guys. Thanks, you guys.
Bye.
Bye. Love you all.
Bye.
Have a good life. So.